Major funding for On Point is provided by Liberty Mutual for all your auto, home, life, and business insurance needs. Liberty Mutual. Responsibility. What's your policy?
From WBUR Boston, I'm Tom Asbrook, and this is On Point. Wars come and go, peace the same. Music goes on. Long before President Obama set foot in Cairo this week, centuries before the president was even born, the guitar and its ancestors in Spain were weaving ties between Islam and the West. My guest today, classical guitar virtuoso Elliot Fisk, knows that music and the ties his instrument has woven. This hour on Point, we'll talk music, the world, and the guitar as a bridge between cultures with classical virtuoso Elliot Fisk. You can join the conversation. Does this guitar pull you in to other times, places, cultures? Can music bridge our gaps, heal our wounds today? We're at 1-800-423-8255. That's 800-423-TALK. You can also comment at our website, onpointradio.org, or on Twitter and Facebook at On Point Radio. Joining me now in the studio is Elliot Fisk, world-renowned classical guitar virtuoso. He was one of the last students of legendary guitar master Andres Segovia. Segovia called him brilliant, intelligent, and gifted, an artist at the top line of our artistic world. He's been honored around the world and in Spain, where King Juan Carlos honored his contributions to Spanish music. He teaches at the University Mozarteum for Music and Dramatic Arts in Salzburg, Austria, and at the New England Conservatory in Boston. He's founder and artistic director of the Boston Guitar Fest, an international festival now in its fourth year and about to kick off. Elliot Fisk, it's wonderful to have you and your guitar right here with us.
It's a thrill to be here. You're my favorite journalist in America, so I'm so honored to be here.
Well, I am not worthy. I am not
worthy.
You
are more than worthy. And as I was telling you before we got on, in the dark years of the evil empire, this show kept my spirit alive. So really, thank you. All this fabulous work you've done for all of us.
thank you. And we're glad to have you and your guitar. And we hope to sort of treat the guitar as a third guest in this hour, or second guest, after yourself. We were struck. We've wanted to have you for a long time. And this week, when the president was trying to span cultures, this guitar, classical guitar, it's got roots and connections everywhere, but most definitely in Spain, going all the way back. You must have felt that when you... Well, tell us the story of how you, as a young man, came to be at the foot of the hand of Segovia. Segovia, the great one, the one who brought classical guitar back.
Yes, he did. And he was such a wonderful inspiration to us and sort of had the effect of a great messiah on many of us. The people sort of dropped whatever they were doing. People from all walks of life dropped whatever they were doing and went to follow Segovia. And I guess in my own small way, I was one of those people. And I was about 7 years old when my mother sent my father out on a shopping expedition, said, go buy a guitar and come back and we will sing songs as something we can do as a family, because my only brother had Down's syndrome. So my mother thought, well, this is one way we as a family will be able to do something together.
They weren't exactly thinking Segovia. They just wanted to be able to sit around and have a good family sing.
That never happened, fortunately, because none of us are very good singers. But anyway, the guitar did enter the family house. And at the time, my parents were very active in the Quaker meeting in the Philadelphia area where I grew up. So they asked around and they were told, well, have Elliot study classical guitar, because if he studies classical guitar, from that he'll be able to do anything else, which I've since learned is not necessarily true. But anyway, that's how the guitar entered the household, and I sort of picked it up just sort of on a lark, and then it kind of grabbed me. And I think the thing that most made it grab me were those thick old Fats Decca 33 LPs that Segovia would put out on a regular basis, and that just grabbed me. The sound of that guitar and the spirit of that man, as reflected through the sound of that guitar, just grabbed me. And little by little, it became clear that's what I was going to do with my life.
As a teenager, you actually met him in New York, right, and then continued to interact with him for the next decade and more, last decade and more of his life.
That's right. It was a real blessing and an extraordinary thing that when I met Segovia, as you mentioned, I was 19 and he was 81, so our ages added up to 100. And I met him in his hotel room in New York City, and I would go there regularly and play for him for about 3 or 4 or 5 years. And as you say, I mean, I still to this day have numerous letters that I got back from Segovia that he wrote back to me. I mean, it was just really extraordinary.
You have the guitar right here, and we cannot resist it. Take us. I think you've got a tune here, Recuerdos de la Alhambra, the memories of the Alhambra. Set this up and play for us, if you would.
Love to. Well, this work I wanted to pick because I think it's so wonderful that our president is now making these overtures to the Muslim world. It's so important for us. But we forget that, in fact, we've always been linked to the Muslim world. There are so many things that are in our culture thanks to the Muslim world. And one of these things happens to be in the city of Granada in Spain, this wonderful, glorious fortress called the Alhambra, which is, I don't know any Arabic, but I'm told it comes from Alhambra or something of this nature, meaning referring to the red stone, reddish stone of the Alhambra. And in fact, I have a house in Granada that looks at the Alhambra, which I don't get to often enough, but it's a great inspiration, you know, to have that. So when I play this
and
piece,
built in the time when,
the
Muslim ruled Spain.
That's right. This was the last stronghold of the Moors. Mm-hmm. And it's to this day a glorious, wonderful building that just – it has almost a spiritual emanation. When you go anywhere near it, it dominates the old city of Granada, and it has given to the world just so much beauty.
Please let us hear this. 1896, Francisco Tárrega, one of the most famous of all classical guitar pieces, Memories of the Alhambra.
It's a tremolo piece where the thumb plays the accompaniment and the three fingers of the right hand do the melody in repeated notes. Thank you.
classical guitar virtuoso Elliot Fiske in the studio playing their Memories of the Alhambra by Francisco Tárrega, 1896. Oh, my Lord. I mean, that is surpassingly, almost unspeakably beautiful.
Thank you. Well, it's funny. This piece, you know, is almost a cliche now, but when I play it, of course, I'm thinking of the Alhambra. I'm thinking of Granada, how much I love the city of Granada. And I'm thinking also of this wonderful, blessed time when, and there was a time when, you know, the Moors were really the uplifters of civilization. There was even a time in the history of Spain when the Moorish Sultan had a Jewish prime minister, you know, and God willing, maybe we'll get back to something like that. I know our president is certainly trying to work for that, and Godspeed.
Godspeed. We have to take a short break. This is going to be a tremendous treat. We'll go out of this segment with Spanish Dance number 5. This is off CD. Elliot Fiske and Angel Romero, duet here by Spanish Catalan composer Enrique Granados. What a joy. Classical guitar virtuoso Elliot Fiske is with us. Does this sound still take you, sweep you away to where? And what about the mind, the discipline, the artist behind the guitar? What's your question for Elliot Fiske, student of Segovia? 800-423-8255. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We'll be right back. Tom Ashbrook, this is On Point. We're talking this hour with classical guitar virtuoso Elliot Fiske about music, the world, and the guitar as bridge between cultures. He's with me in the studio with his guitar. We're thinking of today as a second guest, letting the guitar speak. You can join the conversation. Guitar Hero fans, are you drawn to this version of the guitar? What's the magic, the allure of this instrument? Why is this one, the one out front at the concert hall, making us swoon? And what is it about classical guitar out of Spain with its sound of Andalus, of the meeting of Islam and the West? 800-423-8255 is our number, 800-423-TALK. Elliot Fiske is here, his guitar is here, and Elliot, the callers are piling in. Let's go to Savannah, Georgia, and Troy. Troy, you're on the air.
Hello, guys.
Hi.
I just wanted to say I turned on the show just before the last piece was being played on the guitar, and I felt like the scene out of Shawshank Redemption when they're all standing in the prison and they play the opera song, and everybody just gets completely in awe and pulled away from what's in front of them, and I really enjoy the piece, and it makes me forget about the piles of work I have today, and it was amazing, so thank you for playing it, and really enjoyed it.
Troy, we're on wing with it right there with you. Let me get one more on that piece, Memories of the Alhambra. Joel, you're on the air from Somerville, Massachusetts, with Elliot Fiske.
Hi, Tom. Thank
Hi.
You.
Yeah.
I just want to say I was driving right now, and I heard Elliot play the Memories of the Alhambra, and I started crying, and I've never done that before with music, and I just want to thank you for introducing me to his music and to classical guitar.
Thank you, Joel. Thank you.
You know, that reminds me of what Beethoven wrote over the Missa Solemnis. Vom Herzen möges zum Herzen gehen. From the heart, may it go to the heart. Bless you. Thank you.
You've played this many times in other pieces, and you must have seen tears. I mean, I can understand what Joel's talking about in the heart of that song. What makes that happen? What is it about this music? You know it deeply, not superficially at all.
Well, it's the goodness in the people. I mean, I'm a mere, if I do my job well, I'm a mere instrument, and this spirit of love that initiates music passes through me to somebody else. I'm only a wire, you know. And if I can't produce something if it's not in the soul of the person, you know. And I guess this is sort of reflects this
in the soul of the listener. You're saying.
Yes.
So there's the composer, there's the performer.
I'm just the wire. Yeah.
The musician. Then there's the listener.
Right.
But the composer has something to do with
this. Oh, the composer, of course. The composer tanks up in heaven.
Right.
You know. And then I drive the car. I don't know.
Well, In that one, for example, I mean, there's the technical challenge and mastery, and we'll talk about how that works. Yeah. But there's also you're channeling a sort of cultural river here at the same time to take it to where it really needs to go.
Exactly.
So when it's memories of the Alhambra, what are you conscious of what you're channeling culturally there? Are you tapping? What's the, I don't know, movie in your mind as you play that, or the...
Well, this is so interesting about music because, of course, music exists for us on so many levels. There's a tremendously complex intellectual level. There's a purely physical level. We are athletes from the time we pick up an instrument till we hang up our spikes at the age of hopefully 80 or 90, a lot of us. You know, and we are athletes our whole lives, so we have to have the same attention to perfect coordination and split-second timing as athletes do. I mean, remember this one swimming race that Phelps won, and what was it, 0.02 seconds?
Yes.
I always use that to explain to my students. I said, look, if I tell you to move the finger slightly this way, remember Phelps, because that's what you are. You are an athlete. You're a high-pressure, high-quality athlete. So there is the aspect of athleticism in music. As you say, music calls on all kinds of cultural heritage from all parts of the world. So we have, of course, to know about other cultures. We have to know other languages. We have to try to get inside of other languages. And then I guess ultimately, it's a spiritual thing, and that's the most mysterious. And that's if by the grace of God, something enters into you at the moment of playing. You just have to hope. You have to open your soul and hope that that mercy will come to you from on high.
We want to be immersed in that music today. The wonderful thing about you, Elliot, is though you're thinking in terms of what the world we live in at the same time as it's the music that touches our ears, our soul. That's very much in the news this week. And President Obama talking about, in Cairo, the region practically that we're playing out of here. And this is him in Cairo yesterday, one of the great capitals of the Muslim world, but hearkening back in his speech to the glory days of the Umayyad Caliphate's rule over Spain, 7th, 8th century. At that time, Muslims, Jews, Christians said to have lived together there in relative harmony.
The fifth issue that we must address together is religious freedom. Islam has a proud tradition of tolerance. We see it in the history of Andalusia and Cordoba during the Inquisition. I saw it firsthand as a child in Indonesia, where devout Christians worshiped freely in an overwhelmingly Muslim country. That is the spirit we need today.
The spirit and the source of much of this music. Tell us about the connection of guitar, the modern guitar, into the 18th century. He's going 1,000 years back before that, and of course it does to Andalusia, to Cordoba. What's the connection between the instrument in your lap right here, right now, and the history the president's referring to there?
Well, let me say it's an honor for me to be to follow the president's words. I adore this president. I can't say how much I love him and how grateful I am as an American traveling abroad to have this man be the face of our country. Mm. As an American, as a patriot, as a fierce patriot, a fierce American nationalist, he represents everything I think is great about this country, and he certainly has made life a lot easier to explain my country to my many friends around the world. But to get back to the guitar and its heritage, of course, we forget, perhaps those of us in the West, but if you think about the Spanish language is different from every other language in Europe. It's got sounds that no other European language has. Mm-hmm. Those ch, all those ch,
yes,
and all those
yes.
al, like almacén, aljibe, mm-hmm. alfombra, all these al words, which mm-hmm. obviously have Arabic roots. And then the sound of Spanish with the ch, which I don't know of any other European language that has those sounds. And the guitar, as the national instrument of Spain, also has sounds that no other instrument has. And the guitar, even physically, if you look at my guitar around the sound hole,
yes.
there's something that we call a rosette. This design around the sound hole.
Yes, a kind of braided design
exactly.
on the face, the
on
surface
the face
of the guitar's body.
Surrounding the sound hole. That, what we call a rosette, actually doesn't resemble anything in Western art, but it very much resembles Islamic art. And I always think of that as a tie-over
it's kind of like the decorative vines
in
a mosque.
Or if you walk into the Alhambra, you'll see things that look like mm-hmm. it as well.
Mm-hmm.
And even the sound of the instrument, of course, is not far off from the oud. What the Spanish did when they drove the Moors out of Granada in 1492, they outlawed everything. They started to outlaw everything that had to do with the Moors. So they kicked the loot out and they kicked the oud out. No oud, no loot. Well, as Carl Jung said, what you drive out through the door will come back through the window. And that's just what happened. The guitar came back through the window. And in flamenco, there's even a flamenco form called the danza mora, the Moorish dance.
Of course.
And we see this, can we go maybe into a little of the next pieces?
Oh, we would love that. You've got two pieces from the Siglo de Oro here.
Right, the so-called Golden Century, the Siglo de Oro, which was the 16th century when Spain's power was at its peak. And one of the things that happened at the start of the 16th century, which is so amazing about these works, is a very, very sophisticated culture of guitar playing was developed in Spain. The guitar they were using is something similar to what we'd call a 12-string now, okay. Meaning six double strings. Mm-hmm. One string was tuned slightly differently. The third string, instead of being what we would call a G, is in a relative pitch, is an F sharp.
Yeah, yeah.
So you have a slightly different setup for the instrument. And I'm going to play two pieces, actually, from this wonderful epic. By two great Spanish masters. The first, by Luis de Narváez, is actually a transcription he made of a vocal work by the great Flemish composer Josquin des Prez called Mille Regrets, A Thousand Regrets. Mm. It's basically what we call an aubade, which is the song of the lover leaving the bed of his beloved in the morning, so sorry to leave you, a thousand regrets to leave you. It doesn't sound like that, but this is what it sounded like in the 16th century.
Wonderful.
And after that, a wild fantasy by Alonso Mudarra. This is Seville, 1546. He says, this fantasy imitates the harp in the manner of Ludovico. We don't know who Ludovico was. Must have been some manic Italian harp player. Mudarra tells us, es difícil hasta ser entendida. It's difficult until understood. And the most funny thing towards the end, this voice speaks to us from down the centuries and says, from this point until the end, there are a few falsas, a few cross relations. That means like weird notes.
Yeah.
If you play them well, they won't sound bad.
Our ears, our souls are open. Elliot Fisk, please play. Thank you.
Isn't that wild?
Wild doesn't
1546.
A joy, a joy, a joy.
It's just nuts, you know?
My gosh, what a joy. What a joy. I have read you, Eliot Fisk there, Virtuoso, the title fully earned and long earned now. I've read you offering lines from Paradise Lost as an artistic credo, and I was thinking as you played right there, you quoting Milton, what in me is dark illumine, what is low raise and support, that to the height of this great argument I may assert eternal providence and justify the ways of God to men.
That's it.
I hear that in your hands.
Well, thank you. That's what I'm working
for. Fabulous. Let's get a caller. Catherine, Piermont, New Hampshire. You're on the air with Eliot Fisk.
Hello. This is so exciting. Eliot, I heard you on Eastern Point in Gloucester, Mass. in the 70s.
Oh, my God.
Playing, and I never forgot.
Wow, what an honor. I don't remember that concert, but I'm glad you do.
You were a very young man, and it was a very, very intimate setting out on beautiful Eastern Point, and I just never forgot it, and I wanted you to know.
Well, aren't you sweet? Thank you.
That's just wonderful, just wonderful. And Jerry in Nashville, you're on the air with Eliot Fisk.
Yeah, hello, John, Mr. Fisk. I feel almost like I'm profaning the show by asking the question because
On the contrary,
in my mind it's so beautiful. Well, I'm from Nashville and I play guitar, which is pretty rare around here. And but I grew up with Chet Atkins more than Segovia.
Yeah.
But I did try some classical.
Mm-hmm.
And so one, Mr. Ashbrook, if you could just confirm for me that Mr. Fisk only has 10 fingers.
I can so confirm, Jerry. Only 10.
Okay. Well, the other question is also anatomical. I had a little Goya guitar years ago, and, the wider neck and the thick strings, and my fingers just wouldn't do it. And is this an anatomical issue sometimes to reach the strings?
It may not be your fault at all. Let me say I'm very blessed to play a wonderful instrument by my dear friend Stephen Connor from Cape Cod, Massachusetts. Mm-hmm. And this instrument is quite extraordinary, and this guitar maker is absolutely fantastic and also one of the loveliest people on the planet, and fortunately only about an hour and a half or so away by car.
This guitar not off the plains of Spain. Jerry in Nashville, please stand by. I promise we'll come back and look at the anatomy as well as all that's sublime about Eliot Fisk's playing and his guitar and this music. We're talking this hour with classical virtuoso Eliot Fisk. Listeners, you are welcome to join the conversation. What is it about this instrument, this music, in these hands? 800-423-8255. 800-423-TALK. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We'll be right back. Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We're talking this hour with classical guitar virtuoso Eliot Fisk. Behind me on CD, I almost can't bear to speak over it, but here we are. Talking about music and the world and the guitar, his guitar, as a bridge between cultures. You can join the conversation. He's here with me in the studio with a wonderful guitar, and we will hear more of it. What is it about this instrument? What is it about classical guitar out of Spain and beyond? But about that sound of Andalus, the meeting of Islam in the West, it makes you wonder, should all of our negotiations include music, include guitar breaks? All of our conversations, should they include musicians for a different angle, a universal view? We're at 1-800-423-8255, 1-800-423-TALK. We've got a question on the table from Nashville about technique. But you know what? Before we go to that, behind us as we're coming in is this Capriccio number 23 in E-flat minor. And this is one of the great masterpieces that I think you've transcribed from work by Italian composer Niccolini Paganini.
Yes.
And here's your transcription we're hearing. It might be fun to hear up against it, the original violin, Paganini's violin, to think about what it's been like to transcribe. Let's just take this down and bring up, if we may, the sound of the violin as Paganini originally wrote this piece. Paganini on the violin, 1989, the violinist Midori. You and many other guitarists, project your ears into that world and bring out the transcription for guitar. Tell us what that's like, and then if you'd be good enough for Jerry in Nashville and every other guitar plucker out there, picker, the anatomy of making this music work, classical guitar, it's a little different.
Well, Paganini is a fascinating case because of the great composers, he's practically the only one who was a great guitar player and a brilliant guitar player. And he wrote a lot of works for the guitar, particularly at the start of his life when he was trying to impress various ladies with his guitar playing, and he must have been a tremendous guitar player.
That would work.
But then when he went to write all those wonderful caprices, I mean, I'm sure that he was very influenced by the guitar. And what I sort of miss a lot of times in the playing of the violinists is they come at it with a completely violinistic, physical kind of approach too much of the time. Mm. And putting them on the guitar was very interesting because I had to consider sort of bigger musical issues, and also, as you say, just the whole issue of how to transcribe a bowed sound, which is a continuous sound, into you know, like the sixth caprice, for example.
So is it a little tremolo in the background?
No, I'm doing tremolo. I do it across two strings. They, of course, are trilling on one string. But this, for me, I turned into
right. That's how you extend.
Right. Well, I had to invent a completely new technique.
Yes.
Which I had never done before. And I had no teacher, as Segovia said. I had no teacher, so, you know, thanks to the good efforts of the teacher and the pupil, they were not dissatisfied with each other. I taught myself how to do this stuff.
Now, think of a Nashville guitarist, and what you're doing there is...
It's going to give him a
headache.
Physically,
what's the same and what's different?
Well, it's going to give him a headache, what I'm doing there. Mm-hmm. The problem with classical guitar is it's maybe the most difficult instrument there is. If it's not, I'd like to know what is.
There's no pick involved here.
No pick.
You've got five sturdy fingernails on your right hand, and they're all at work.
They're all at work. And then the left hand has to be, of course, in complete, perfect coordination. And what's so hard about classical guitar is this whole issue of how much the left hand has to do at the same time as the right hand, getting the two hands synchronized, and yet the two hands are doing completely different things. It's basically you're playing two instruments at the same time, and you've got to synchronize them. It's to some extent it's true with the bow, but with the guitar, we're lining up individual fingers. There's no stream of sound. So the margin for error is so small. It's really walking across the Grand Canyon on a tightrope all the time, always. No matter if the piece is simple or hard, it's always like that. Now, if you're playing straight chords on the guitar, of course, that's that's what the instrument's really set up to do.
Yes.
You know, it doesn't
matter. Right there.
Right
there. You're taking it on out over the Grand Canyon.
But we're taking it out over the Grand Canyon, playing Bach fugues and you know, transcribing from Paganini. And, of course, this is what interests me. What interests me is the almost impossible. And, you know, I think that's something that interests us in America. Our whole American experiment is almost impossible.
And yet it is our aspiration. And you know, the next generation is lining up for your advice here, Elliot. Let me get a call from Rutland, Vermont, and Rachel. Rachel, you're on the air with Elliot Fisk.
Hello, Mr. Tom and Mr. Fisk.
Mr. Tom and Mr. Fisk. Here we are.
Here we are. Yes, Rachel. Hi.
Hi. Well, I've been learning how to play chords and picking, but how do I learn more and how do I take it further like Mr. Fisk does?
Well, I think first thing is get a good musical education. Get some sightseeing, some solfege, learn harmony, learn theory. Expose yourself to everything that you possibly can in the world of culture. Come visit us at Boston Guitar Fest if you can, which is starting June 10 to 14. It will be partly at Northeastern University and partly at the New England Conservatory. And there's more information on that at www.bostonguitarfest.org. And one of the reasons I started Boston Guitar Fest was to try to bring together all the disparate parts of the guitar community in the New England area. I haven't been as successful as I'd like to be.
And from around the world.
But particularly here in New England, I think in Boston, we have so many wonderful things going on in Boston, but a lot of times it's kind of everybody's doing his own thing and people are not aware of each other.
Is it a natural progression from what Rachel may be doing to classical, or do you have to have a
classical guitar is so complicated, but, you know, if you can find a good teacher, you'll be in wonderful shape, and I'm sure there are fine teachers, you know, maybe even near to where you are. I wouldn't happen to know them, but, you know, do give a visit to our website, bostonguitarfest.org, and you know, see what you can find there. And there's also a very vibrant guitar society in Boston, the Boston Classical Guitar Society, that could help you out. And I'm sure they're probably wonderful teachers right near you, and I don't want to offend them by not knowing them, but I just don't get up to Vermont that often. I'm just not
Rachel, we wish you the best of luck, as close as you get to it, even if what, right on top or not so. It's a wonderful journey. We hope you'll take it. We've got the time just goes, and we want to hear more. You've got something from Leo Bauer. This is a contemporary Cuban composer, guitarist, conductor. Two etudes. Can you play?
Right. Even though the embargo's been up on Cuba, which is ridiculous.
We musicians
haven't been observing it.
Yes,
so
good. Elliot Fisk with Two Etudes from Leo Brower. It's Brower. What a privilege and a joy to have you and this music in our studio. Absolutely exquisite. And I love the contemporary face of that, feel of that. How magnificent. Yeah. Gene in Buffalo, New York. You're on the air with Elliot Fisk.
Thank you so much for taking my call. I'm honored to be on the air and to hear your playing, Elliot. It's phenomenal. As you know, we have the Joanne Folletta International Guitar Competition.
Joanne,
we're
yeah.
very proud of that. Mm. I just wanted to say that I'm in my early 40s, and I've been absolutely compelled to learn to play the guitar. So finally, I committed to myself last year, picked up the classical guitar, and it's a real journey, I have to say. But the part of your music and what you're bringing on air during this program, how music transcends all, and I love how you tie it into the politics of our world, our issues in the world, and what it does, music resonates with all of us, and I do believe that music should be part of any discussions that we're having on any level, you know, peace discussions, political discussions, and I just want to thank you, really.
Well, thank you for that comment. And in fact, of course, if we look back in our civilization, if we read Plato and read Aristotle, they felt that music was absolutely essential in the formation of character and the formation of good citizens. Plato speaks about it in the Republic, as you probably know. Aristotle speaks about it in the Politics, and somehow we've gotten away from that. I'm glad President Obama's speaking about it again from time to time. And another thing I wanted to say, you spoke about the transformative power of music, and I always think back to when I started my life as a professional musician, quite penniless, really. I moved to New York in September of 1977, and I inhabited a famously dilapidated fifth-floor walk-up at 87th and West End in New York City, and I was about as poor as a church mouse. I had enough money either to pay the rent or to eat for 1 year, but, you know, I didn't feel poor. I didn't feel poor. I had my books. I had my music. And, you know, when I just moved to Boston a few years back, I remember at the end of May, all the students throw out their stuff. And I found the collected works of Shakespeare, you know, getting rained on. And I rescued that collected works of Shakespeare. And that's the collected works of Shakespeare I still have in my house right now. And I think sometimes in our battles on poverty, although the material aspect of it, of course, can't be underestimated, still, what about the spiritual aspect? You know, if we would make music and art and culture more a part of the combating poverty, I think it would be a wonderful thing. In addition, all the skills that you need to do music are skills that will bring you out of poverty. And music's such a much more positive way to get kids out of poverty than sports. Although I love sports, I adore sports, but sports is win-lose. And is no matter how much stuff they put in, it's win-lose, and music is win-win.
Elliot Fiske, an hour is not enough. I was looking back at your biography. It turns out we were schoolmates at Yale many years ago. I wish we had known
one another. I wish we'd run into one another.
It's taken too long. With that wonderful riff in our ears, I wish you'd take us to the last piece we have time for. This is one by Bach, where you've got a descending bass line that's sort of used in the flamencos. It ties in to the Spanish influence, even though it's Johann Sebastian Bach. Which piece is it?
Well, I'm going to start with this little prelude, and then I'm going to go into the famous Chaconne, which is originally for violin. I'll just do a little bit of it, and let's see what happens. My daughter is working on this on the piano in the original key of C minor. But
we have 3 minutes. We'll try to treat it as eternity.
Okay.
Here's Bach. And runs. I don't know what to say to that. I'll quote your man once more, Milton, and we hear it right there, to the height of this great argument in the strings of your guitar. I may assert eternal providence and justify the ways of God to men. An hour is most certainly not enough. I hope you'll come back.
I would love to. I adore this show, as you know.
Well, it's such a privilege and joy and honor to have you with us. We're going to go out of this show with a little more Paganini. Elliot Fisk, you are a gift. The Boston Guitar Fest next week. We'll make a link to it on our website if you didn't catch that earlier. Thank you for musicianship, your mind, and for your time today.
And thank you for your contribution to American democracy. I love it.
Hey, off we go. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point.